In John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Never. God has given us the privilege of shining the light of Christ in this city. You just got a brief tour. Some of you may not be aware of all those places where Crossings has been blessed to have a presence. And so I want to welcome all those folks that have shining the light of Christ here in Oklahoma City, at Crossings on Portland, up in Edmond, at Covell, the community center and the clinic, their service over there as well each weekend and this evening and tomorrow. And Crossings Midtown Clinic, Crossings Mayfair, the Bethany Children's Hospital, everyone joining us online in all 22 prisons in the state of Oklahoma. Who would ever have dreamed that one? But God has been kind, and we're so thankful. Very, very thankful. That and for those of you online, thanks for your notes and letters. You're scattered all over the country, and I just still can't get over it, but I'm so thankful that you're willing to do it. So we love you all, and we are glad we get to be your church. We've had Christmas music on for most of December, and then the Hallmark Channel, watching very busy, successful men and women who work in really big towns and really big buildings, and they're too busy to get excited about Christmas over in Clover Bend, Yuletide Springs, Mistletoe Township. And some guy's asking two ladies if they're coming to the Green Pine Grove Town Square Christmas Eve Festival of Christmas Lights Tree Decorating Contest. And for a minute, I just laughed till I think I'm going to hurt. And then something really weird happens, and I start feeling this tearing up when there's this touching, sweet thing happening between two people, or a mom and a son, and they're talking about how they love each other. You know? So I was actually trying to wrap a gift. I've only wrapped this one, and you'll see why. And so Kim was gone. I thought, I'm going to help out a little bit. And so I said, I'll at least wrap this one and got started on it. And we ran out of paper. And so I found some. And I think that's wrapping paper. I'm not sure. But I found it, and then that was the only tape I had left. We ran out of tape. This is no joke. That is sitting by the tree right now. And so that's what Hallmark had me so upset and so shook up. And so I couldn't stop rapping. So I thought, I'm just going to stick with it and just do it. So that's the finished product right there. And I know whoever opens it in the next day or two is going to be, they'll know exactly who wrapped it. And they're going to be so thankful that what's inside is so much better looking than what's on the outside. But it's always fun at Christmas at our house. And so we're having a good time. This Christmas, I want to give you an opportunity and ask you if you would consider something. It's just three simple words. Come and see. Come and see. I started messing with that phrase earlier in December and back in November, and I didn't realize how many times those three words are repeated throughout the scriptures. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see Jesus as you've never seen him before. And we're given many invitations to come and see, to come and see him, to move closer to him who invites us because he loves us. So I wanted to just take some time to give you some of the examples throughout the scripture where we find that invitation. And it's one that's been open for a long time to us. Many of you didn't know that everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect and anything's possible. When the angels left the shepherds and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see. Let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. One of the greatest invitations of all time. And the invite still stands. We are still being asked to come and see. I want to introduce you to a couple of people that I've recently found out about and was very touched by their stories. Joy Davidman, it's her picture. We're going to go back in time a bit. Her name is Joy Davidman. She was an early 20th century atheist American poet. She married another writer named Bill, who frankly was just not a good man. He was addicted to various forms of substances, none of which were good for him. He was completely unreliable, both relationally as well as financially. He was never home. They had two children together, and he would disappear, and she would never know if he was coming back or when. On this one particular occasion, in the midst of all the substance abuse and verbal abuse and everything that was going through her life, he called her one day and said, "I'm having a nervous breakdown," and he hung up the phone. And she didn't know if she would ever hear from him again or see him again. We don't get the rest of that story, but it was in the midst of this vulnerability that this American atheist poet wrote this after that phone call, sitting quietly in her house, wondering how much longer would her life look like this. And she wrote this, an atheist poet, "For the first time in my life, I felt hopeless. For the first time, my pride was forced to admit that I was not calm after all. The master of my fate and the captain of my soul. All my defenses, all the walls of arrogance and cockiness and self-love behind which I'd hid from God went down momentarily and God came in." And then she says this, "There was a person with me in that room, directly present to my consciousness. A person so real that all my previous life was by comparison a mere shadow play. And I myself was more alive than I had ever been. It was like waking from sleep." God showed up in that room that day. He was inviting her to come and see that he had more for her. I was reminded as I read this story of the verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 from the Message paraphrase. It's a wonderful statement. "Come to me," this is Jesus saying, "come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Some of you may not know that Jesus said things like this throughout the scriptures. "Come to me. Come and see. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the," I love this phrase, "learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Well, this story ends pretty good. Eventually, this American atheist poet, Joy Davidman, met, fell in love, and eventually married a man named C.S. Lewis. You think God blessed that woman with a better man? There's another lady I heard about. Her name is Rosalind Picard. Let me introduce you to her. Rosalind Wright Picard is an American scholar, an inventor, professor of media arts and sciences, founder of the Director of Effective Computing Research Group at MIT. She's respected all over the world for the work she does. When she was in college, she thought all people who were religious, Christians, regardless of what religious brand they were a part of, Rosalind was convinced that it all just meant you were uneducated and you did not understand the way things worked in this world. But as an educated person looking down on all religious people, particularly Christians, she said she felt she ought to at least do the research and read the Bible and see what was in it. She'd never opened one before. She was expecting to find a whole lot of mumbo jumbo. She was expecting to find a lot of things that she would be absolutely offended by, and yet something strange happened even as she read the Bible for the first time. With her skeptical perspective, she started feeling as if God might be trying to speak to her through what she was reading. And she said, "I didn't want it. I didn't like it. Whatever was happening, I didn't like it." She couldn't explain it, but she couldn't find a way of describing it. It happened to be a friend who she was close to, who'd known that she'd decided to read the Bible a little bit and see what she found there, not expecting much, of course. So her friend said one day, "How's that going?" And she said, "You know, I go to a great church on weekends. Would you want to go with me?" And at that point, Rosalind Picard said, "I'd have nothing to lose. We're good friends and I'll be happy to go with you. The sermon that day was a sermon where the pastor talked about who is leading your life. Who is the Lord of your life? Because everyone's being led by someone. She went home that day, and after giving it more thought, she wrote these words. I was intrigued. I was the captain of my ship. But was it possible that God would actually be willing to lead me? After praying, my world changed dramatically, as if a flat, black and white existence suddenly turned full color and three-dimensional. Full color and three-dimensional. She's having an experience she didn't know she could have. I once thought I was too smart to believe in God. Now I know I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in the cosmos, the author of all science, mathematics, art, and everything else there is to know. This was her experience. She continues, today, I walk with joy alongside the most amazing companion anyone could ask for, filled with desire to keep learning and exploring. Yet again, we find a come and see moment. And this key part of Jesus' birth is when he was taken to the temple to be presented. Mary and Joseph did what parents still do today. We come to the church and we acknowledge these children are gifts from God, and we have what we call a parent and child dedication. That's what Mary and Joseph did. They went to the temple. It was a come and see moment, and there was a proclamation that John the Baptist was quoting from the book of Isaiah that back in the Old Testament, we're told this about Jesus. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. All people will see the salvation from God. Mary and Joseph takes the child Jesus to the temple. There was a man, Simeon, who'd been waiting for this moment. He knew he could not die until this Messiah had come to the temple. Simeon made some comments, but the last thing he said was this, "With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. It's now in the open for everyone to see." Joy Davidman saw God when something stirred in her soul at one of the darkest, if not the darkest moment in her life. Unsure of her future, a single mom, but God came near to her, a God she didn't believe in until that moment. Rosalind Picard, after praying, she says, my world changed, I'll quote her again, my world's changed dramatically, as if a flat, black and white existence suddenly turned full color and three-dimensional. God showed up in that room that day. He was inviting her to come and see. I'm reminded of that phrase in Matthew again from the Message. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It was interesting as I read more about Rosalind Picard, her story is very interesting. And I checked it all out again to be sure that the story I had heard and read, that it was still current, and it is. But she did some lengthy discussion of why it took her so long and why she was so hesitant to even give Christianity a chance. And I just say this because I find it to be very true, even still today. She said, I just saw many Christians who were so unkind to each other. They would say things to each other that I'd never even heard my worst friend say to me. They seemed to be so judgmental, and yet they were very hypocritical because they would say one thing and do something very different. She says, that's what nearly kept me from even giving it a thought. And those of you that spend much time around Crossings know that that's a big deal to me. Because I think sometimes, particularly in the last probably decade, the way Christians have been acting toward other Christians, the way church leaders and pastors have been acting toward other pastors and other leaders, it embarrasses me as well as it infuriates me, because the world watches that and says, who wants anything to do with that? I don't. But that was what was keeping. That's a point I wanted to make in particular, because maybe you're one of those people. You've had the experience that Rosalind had. And what you've seen in people that claim to follow Jesus hasn't been real impressive. This Christmas, we're invited, no matter where you've been, whether you've been close and decided to run away for a while, maybe you got burned in a church, that happens all the time. Hopefully not this one, but every now and then somebody doesn't like something and we try to help them find a place that will work. Just keep in there with Jesus wherever it is you're worshiping. But could it be, this would be a Christmas that perhaps you would say, okay, I'm willing to give this a try. I'm willing to come and see. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. Luke 2, with my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now in the open for everyone to see. One of my favorite stories in the scriptures, because it's such a great story of what Christians ought to be like, and it's a great story of how Jesus treats people who are in trouble. If you've been near a church, you've probably heard this story. If you've walked by a church on a Sunday, surely you've heard about the woman at the well. She came to draw water at noon because all the women of the town wanted nothing to do with her, and they came early in the morning. She would come at noon because she didn't want the stares. Everybody knew she'd had five husbands already and had number six in the lineup. Just so happened, though, Jesus, which was no accident, needed to stop at that well and take a rest and have some water. The disciples had gone into town to grab some food and come back before they would continue on their journey. So Jesus knew exactly what was going on there. He knew everything about her. She began to talk religion. That's what we do sometimes. We feel we're getting embarrassed. She knew that she really clearly knew some of her scriptures of the Old Testament. She talked about this mountain and that mountain and who the great leaders were of God's people through the years in the Old Testament. But Jesus kept drilling down. He needed her to see something she hadn't seen before. And he began to tell her everything he knew about her, and he knew everything about her. And the end of that story, I could spend a lot of time on it, I have before. But the end of this story, she was a different woman. She came to the well, she saw Jesus, and what I love about this, she then has feeling so clean and cleansed and loved in that moment. She'd never felt it before. And you know what this crazy woman did after the whole town thinking of her and thinking exactly what she was? She starts running through the town saying, this man came and told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And one of my favorite lines toward the end of that story is, many in that town came to believe through that woman's testimony. And there's not a church in Jerusalem that would have hired her. Not a church in America that would hire her now. But she came to a well and she saw Jesus and she was changed forever. And she couldn't help but tell what it felt like to be free and felt like to have the guilt all gone and lifted off of her shoulders. And she felt free that there might be a brand new start for her. All because, could this be the Messiah? And it was. So I want to ask you, this Christmas? If you haven't done it yet, or maybe you've tried it before and it didn't get anywhere, come and see again. For the first time, or for the 20th time, when you keep trying to look and see if this is real and if there's something there. Don't let others tell you who they think Jesus is. Find out yourself. I believe Christmas is God's invitation for all of us to come to him and see him and experience him. When we have done that, we have had Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness and your love for us. We thank you, Father, for the invitation that you continue to give us. You've never invited us too many times to stop inviting us, even when we've refused. Father, I pray that this Christmas, perhaps, we would say, let's take a closer look at why this seems to work and why so many people have chosen to follow this man, Jesus, and why I've missed the greatest message that's ever been told. Perhaps some folks will say, it's time for me to give it a look, to come and see. That is our prayer for this Christmas, in Jesus' name. Amen.